Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour, another edition of Happy Hour. I know you're very excited at such, with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. I am a Frankenberry, and we've got a cool show for you today, especially with the fact that I guarantee you, like 90% of our audience out there are pet folk. We are going to be talking to a sort of animal whisperer today, a communicator of some type, correct?
Yes, we are. And I have to say, I am 99% sure that in all the years we have been on the air, we have not spoken with someone whose entire career is an animal communicator. But today is the day. We are going to be speaking with Nancy Mello. She is, as we said, an animal communicator. And I'm going to ask her what this means. She's also an evidential medium with experience as a speaker and podcast host. I've been listening to her podcast. It's totally fun. Nancy works with individuals and pet owners and groups to help them. So here's what she does. She helps you understand what your pet is trying to say to you, which is amazing. And she also can communicate with pets that have passed over, which I think would be very, very helpful for so many people because pets really are family. So she's an interesting cat. No pun intended. And, you know, if I'm lucky, I'm going to get a little free advice about Quinn, the murderous dirt cat, when we speak to Nancy a little later on in the show.
Okay, that sounds good. Now,
sounds really interesting.
Yeah, now, animal communicator, does she have possibly one of those funky collars from the movie Up? You know, where the dog actually talks to you? Is that how she communicates? Is that how she tells us what's going on?
You think Jonna has watched a cartoon movie, Frankenberry?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
But
well, you should.
And maybe I will. Maybe I will over the couple of weeks off that we're going to take over Christmas. But she does. I'll let her tell you. But I know how she communicates with the pets. And it's not through a weird cartoon collar. I will say that.
Damn, I was hoping for something sci-fi. All right, well, we'll find out what she says. So anyway, so Johnny, here's my question. And obviously the audience knows that you have like, you know, 37 cats in your house. And Red, right now you're wearing a muumuu and you're wearing, you know, cat slippers and you're eating ice cream. But
bonbons.
Yes. Which cat do you want to ask about first? Is it going to be Quinn, obviously, or is it going to be the mom and dad cat that you can't corral?
So of the 15 or so cats, I think I would have to, if I only get one, like if she's like, listen, you know, I don't give free advice often, just pick one. I would have to go with Quinn, the murderous dirt cat, for the obvious reason that she's the only one of the bunch that tries to kill me on a daily basis. And there's got to be a reason. And more importantly, you guys, I don't ever want Quinn to be successful. So I think if time permits and she will talk. So, but here's the thing. In order for her to know what Quinn is trying to say, she's got to see a picture of the cat. So maybe I'll tee one up in case I can quickly text her. But yeah, that's the one I would ask about. And just because you mentioned Punky the mother, I'm a little bit, I don't know whether to be upset or grateful, but Punky the mother has almost all but disappeared. Uh-oh. And but she's alive. In the last 3 weeks, she has made an appearance twice and she hasn't stuck around. She's come, she sniffed around for food and she left. And if I'm being quite honest, I'm a little ticked off. Like I'm going to be grateful. I'm sure she's well, but the other, maybe a week and a half ago, I was driving home and I take this little weird route when I go home and I was on a street that neighbors my street. But there's like it's like a street, then a row of houses, then my street. And I was driving up this other street and sure enough, there's Punky getting ready to crawl under somebody else's front porch. Like
the nerve.
You cheating little.
I mean, it could be better than your back porch. Come on now.
Seriously.
That's what I was saying. So I stop in the middle of this road and I roll
down. Did you really?
Stop. And I'm in front of this house and I roll down my window and I'm screaming at her, Punky, Punky, what are you doing? Punky. And I'm sure that there had to be people in this house looking at me like, who is this crazy person screaming in front of our house? And Punky just looked at me and then kept right on going underneath that porch.
You're sure it was her?
Positive.
And meanwhile, the poor kids in the house are going, Mom, Dad, why is that weird lady talking to our porch?
I know. Mm-hmm. And then a little, maybe like a few days later on that same road, because that's how I drive home from the new office, on that same road, but not under the same porch, the dad, Pinky, was coming out from behind a chain link fence that borders like empty property. Like, you know, nobody's probably there could be a whole total cat utopia behind this chain link fence on this vacant land, like a Woodstock for cats, but all the time. And he's been coming around more than Punky's been coming around, but I can't imagine why she's dissing me after a year and a half.
I know.
Why?
Because you've stolen all of her children.
She drops them off like, see ya, bye. So I don't get it. I'm just happy that she is well. And then the other thing, and I don't, listen, I'm not going to complain. It's my own fault. I've been busy. I haven't had time to do the trapping and the whole blah, blah, blah. But of the new batch, I do think there's two pregnant ones.
Oh, my
and
God.
They're not even, by the time this show airs, they will be almost exactly 6 months old.
Is that possible?
Well, I looked it up. I did the Google. And they said between they can that it is possible for cats to get pregnant as early as 4 months, which is insane.
Oh my God.
Now, I could be wrong, and I hope this is one time where I am roo-roo-roo.
Now, is this a couple of the white cats? I didn't realize they went outside.
Well, no.
None of the ones that she's captured have ever been let back out.
Okay, no. All right. So this is some of the newer batch of cats.
New.
When I capture a cat, they are captured. They are captured forever. Even when they try to murder me, even when they do all the they ignore me, all that, they are captured. These are outside cats who have never been. They come in like for a second. They stick a paw in my house if it's raining and I want them to maybe eat inside. But they are young. And it's got the only adult cat, male cat, that I've ever laid eyes on in 2 years now. Pinky is celebrating his second anniversary, is him, the only one. Now, these other little cats, there could be some males, but can they spawn before they're 6 months? I don't know.
Jonna, do you ever let the ones that you've captured run free in the house, or are they always confined to that one room?
I open the door when I know this is how I have to plan it. I have to plan it during a time where I won't have anything else to do for 72 hours because in my mind, once they're all out of that room, I'm never going to be able to round them up again because half of them don't let me touch them and the other half are fine. So I will open the door and the only one who comes out is Botox and even the others are like, nah, we're good. We're good. And they don't come out. Yeah, it's like Stockholm syndrome.
What would you do if you ever opened the door and then you noticed Quinn was no longer in the cat room?
Oh, I would have to hire a bodyguard. I would have to sleep with one eye open. I'd have to lock the knife drawer shut tight.
Knife drawer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the one thing that I do know about cats is that if you starve them, they will find you and you can kind of get them back in line that way. But that's all I really, you know, I am not a good cat communicator. Let me tell you right here, right now, as many of them as I have attempted to communicate with.
Oh, well, now let me ask you, Jonna, what is your fear of letting them around the rest of the house? As long as they know where their litter box is, they'll make their way back to it. If they know where their food bowls are, they'll make their way back to it. I mean, as long as you close the door behind you and ain't no cats following you, they're not getting out.
So
just leave the door open. Let them enjoy the house. Put some cat seats in windows.
Here's my fear. My fear is I have a beautiful, pristine, expensive, non-scratched couch down in my living room that I'm sure they would love to use as a scratching post, number one.
Oh, and
number
two,
my biggest fear is somehow, some way they sneak out. Now, you know, I would think that they wouldn't go far if they did get out of the house. But you got to remember, Quinn, the murderous dirt cat, she's the only one that's not fixed because I literally can't. She won't let me near her to get her in a carrier to get her to the vet. And I certainly can't contribute to the procreation of this cat colony in my neighborhood. So that's my biggest fear. And then in my mind, I know people think it's weird, but I think they're just safer. Like, they've got everything they need. Cat trees, love, food, water, windows. I mean, I think they're okay in that room, and I don't have to clean the rest of my house on a daily basis.
And you're safer if mom and aunts happens to stop by.
Well, she knows about one cat now.
What?
Just one, Carol. Did you catch that?
Elvis?
She knows about one.
No. Elvis?
No, actually, she knows about three. So I'm kind of safe because 3, 8, what's the difference? Not a lot.
How did that come about? How did she find out?
So I had told her that I had captured two of the cats, Jimmy Choo and Prada, and that I was, you know, I got them fixed and I was trying to find them homes and I was having trouble finding them homes. So she actually got on board and was trying to help me find them a home. And then while that happened, I happened to catch Tiny, because Tiny was injured. And then she felt very bad that Tiny was injured, and she got on board with that. So now it's like, well, okay. She knows that there are three that I'm, quote, fostering. I'm kind of in the clear.
You are in the clear. Wow.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're very much in the clear. When mom thinks it's three and it turns out to be 10, I'm sure mom will just take that, you know, in stride.
But I figure she'll never actually know the number unless she has to move in with me. And I'll cross that bridge.
Careful what you wish for.
She'll look at them all, Carol, like they're twins. You know, she'll see five different cats, but they all look the same.
Like,
so
no,
she'll
mom,
think it's the same
I
one.
See three.
Yeah,
no,
mom.
Okay?
Mom, what do you mean you saw that? What do you mean you saw that one cat in three rooms? I don't understand what you're saying, mom.
Guys, I would totally gaslight my mother if I had to. I would totally cat gaslight her, 100%. Oh, yeah. And it would work, too.
All right. So enough cat talk. I want to know why you've shown up today with your alias as Grumple Stiltskin.
Oh, okay. So here's why. And this is an example of how we end up sort of speaking things into existence. So you know how...
like your mother living with you. Oops. Oop, we did it twice.
Uh-oh. Out loud.
So the other day I sent, you don't know about this, Frankenberry. I sent Carol and our very good friend and friend of the show, Jeannie Kelly, something that I got off Instagram. And it was a funny video about this woman. And the video was something like, small things that annoy me way more than they should. And it's just this woman, she's going through all these things that are very small, but that annoy her. And I'm every time she did a little skit, I'm like, that's me. That's me. That's me. So they were like, for example, when you're walking into a room and your sweater gets stuck on the door handle, totally annoys me. She did that. It was the sound of somebody eating, which, as you guys know, totally sends me through the roof. So it was nice to have misery loves company. So as it happened, totally coincidentally, I'm sitting here getting ready for the show, and it happens to be the same day that our brand new state-of-the-art copier, scanner, toast-your-toast machine is arriving. And it happened to arrive 2 minutes before we were recording this show. And they were making so much noise. Like boom, boom, up the stairs, down the stairs, putting stuff together. And this new office, the walls are, I'm not saying they're thin, but they're, you know, they built a lot of interior offices just using drywall. So like you can hear everything. And I'm like, I am so freaking annoyed right now. And it was 2 minutes before I had to jump on the show. That's why. Like,
yeah,
seriously.
But the important thing is, though, if we take a break, at least you can make some toast, you know? possibly watch your favorite show, because I'm sure the thing's got a DVR in it or something too. So
let me say, it's the size of one of the unknown drones. I mean, this thing is a it does it all. It staples, it collates, it tells you you're pretty, it toasts your toast. But darn, they had to bring it upstairs in pieces, and it was just pounding loud. I'm like, of course it has to do it this minute. Okay.
Are you now all moved into your new office?
We are 99% moved into the office. And I've got people who are looking at my 214 Main Street to buy it, which looks like a tornado went through it. But you know what I said to myself? Because I can't, there's not enough hours in the day. I'm like, look, a serious buyer will look past, you know, some garbage and stuff on
right.
the floor.
Of course.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm not going to worry about it.
Now, Craig told me he drove by, and for those of you listening, Jonna has recently purchased a beautiful large building on Main Street in Fishkill. He said you've already got it completely decked out for the holidays. I haven't driven by yet.
That was one of the first things I did. There's a company who does it at a really reasonable price, and I wasn't even in. I think it might have been like before I even moved in, I contacted him and said, get your ladder. The lights are going up, and that's what I did. Very festive. I love it.
Well, I'm sure the neighbors are very happy that you did such a thing. Here's my decorations I paid somebody to put up for me.
One neighbor already got mad. I felt like I was Clark from...
What? What? No.
One neighbor got mad, yep, because apparently, coincidentally, 2 days after these lights went up, somebody hit a utility pole, unfortunately, and there was a power outage on part of Jackson Street,
and somebody
said to somebody who works here, oh, well, it's probably those lights on that new building. And the person said, A, I work there, and B, no, it's not.
That's what I love about it. I love living in a world of dumb. Oh, it's fantastic.
I know. Can't get a break.
Oh, I got nothing. I got nothing to take us into segment two here, guys.
We've done plenty to take us into segment two, because all we have to do is say Jonna's cats, and boom, there's your segue.
I was going to segue and say it's so funny that sometimes humans just don't know how to communicate with other humans, but.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I give it like a 7.5 out of 10. But when we come back from the break, we are speaking with, I think, our first ever animal communicator, Nancy Mello, who also has a very fun podcast called, I love this, The Creature Preacher. And we're going to talk to her all about how to communicate with your pets, whether they're still with you or those who have crossed the Rainbow Bridge.
I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
All right. That sounds good. And hopefully she's going to get all sci-fi on us and tell us how to work that collar around your dog's neck so your dog can talk to you like from the cartoon up. All right. That's on the way. Nancy Mello, Jonna Spielborg, Carol Pesci, This Dude. We'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again, everyone, to Happy Hour. Here you've got Jonna Spielborg and Carol Pesci. You've got this fella. And you've also got our guest, our first time talking to an animal communicator in all our years on the radio. We've been on the air since the mid-1800s, so it's been a long time. And we've got Nancy Mello with us right now. And John is going to do the introductions of Nancy.
Yes, I am. And I have to say, I am very excited. I think the three of us are very excited. This is almost like an early Christmas present to us because of how much we all love animals. And I can't believe it's taken us this long to have an animal communicator on the show, but we are lucky today to be speaking with Nancy Mello. And Nancy is an animal communicator, and we're going to ask her about this. She is also an, quote, evidential medium with experience as a speaker and a podcast host. Sidebar, I've been listening to her podcast, which is called The Creature Preacher. And I absolutely love the pod. It's like so unique. But there's more. Nancy works with individuals, pet owners, and with groups to help them communicate with their pets, keep their pets safe. She prides herself in end of life pet work, which is, you know, sort of a sad topic, but it happens to every single pet owner, which I think can be quite comforting in that event. And she also can help with pets that have problem behaviors. So with that, Nancy Mello, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
We are so excited to have you. I'm so excited that I almost don't know where to start. So let's kind of take it from the top, because we have a lot. I think it's probably the vast majority of our listeners are also pet lovers. We get a lot of emails and texts from people, especially when they hear my cat stories. I mean, there's a lot of cats in the world. So tell us, how did you even get into becoming an animal communicator?
These are abilities I've had all my life. I grew up on an agricultural farm in Northern California, 7 miles from the nearest small town. And I grew up with pigs as raised for 4-H. And also we had the pets that we had as pets, they would just appear to us because people would drop them off on the nearest road, which was a few miles away, and pets would find their way back to us. And I remember my mom saying early on, because I'm the third child, that it wasn't until I came around that it seemed to increase in the frequency that they would find us.
Wow.
And much to my mom's chagrin, she'd be like, well, here's another. And they
thanks,
just
Nancy. Really,
yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah. And to this day, my mom's like, remember, you know, and with a heavy sigh, you know, and as a mom, I can totally get that, you know, because we started collecting animals, but they just seemed drawn to me. And especially with the pigs, we had a Smoker, Joker, and Poker. And I
was fun
out to their pen, and I would just lay with them. And it was really interesting. They seemed to understand that I was quite lonely, of course, like in the middle of nowhere. And they would cuddle with me and they would connect. So I had understanding that I could connect. But honestly, I knew from an early age that I could talk to dead people. I'll never forget, my grandmother came to me soon after she passed and was complaining about the last Christmas gift she gave me and how I wasn't playing with it. And I told my mom, and I was whisked off to the doctor, and this is the 80s. So you can imagine.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, so I really, I've known all my life I could talk to people that were passed. I've known all my life that I was clairvoyant. And really, it was a party trick. I used to joke that I did it to get some cute boys to kiss me, and it worked. You know, I would say, hey, I can tell you what your grandfather did for a living, and if you take me out to dinner, you know, if I win. And it was in my 20s were a lot of fun. You know, so it really was a party trick. And it wasn't until my mid-30s where I really came to a beautiful really kind of midlife thing where I realized if I wasn't using my abilities beyond, you know, because I'm 16 years married and past the kissing new boy stage. I don't think my husband would appreciate if I was asking cute boys to take me out for dinner or something. So I just realized, like, what was the point if not to help people? And so I just kind of put it out very quietly into the world that I was willing to help. And I've only been doing this 5 years professionally. I have helped find over 200 pets at this point. That's been a little fun. So I help working with missing pets, but I also, and we were just talking about this before we started recording, I work with rescues and shelters across the world, from Dubai to London to Louisville, Kentucky, where I work with shelters, and they will DM me usually with an animal that's had a hard time getting adopted, and they can say, what can we do? Or an animal that's been returned a few times.
Wow.
What can we do? And I'm happy to be able to assist. So I do a lot of work with rescues. But I really, and I also, again, I'm known for my end of life work. I am truly honored to help any kind of animal help cross. And actually, just before this recording, I was talking to a client up in Vermont that's helping her 16-year-old goat pass. So, and she just needed confirmation that she was ready. And like people, animals have bucket lists. So, and it could be, I want the fry, or I want raw meat, or it could be something really silly, like I just want to lay in the sun, or I want you to stop singing. And actually, the goat was just telling me, you need to stop with the lights, because she was turning the lights off and on, and the goat's like, knock it off, lady. She was like, I'm done. And she was like, well, I'm keeping them on because I thought she wanted it. And the goat's like, no, we're done. So it's little stuff like that where, you know, even at the end of your pet's life that we could have a session and I could just give you a little bit of peace and comfort in that confirmation of if they're ready or not or what they want. And sometimes those last days can be the most joyful because we can honor that. And actually, I just lost my own cat 48 hours ago now.
And, sorry, Nancy. Sorry.
Well, thank you. But because of my own abilities, we gave her a party. And when I say a party, Prim had paint on her paws when she passed. And so when they did the paw print, she has paint in the paw print memento, you know, that they give you, because it was like Mardi Gras for Prim. And at the end, Prim was like, I'm done. Because she had paint on her paws. I was doing a little art project and I was dancing with her. And she was just like, I'm done. Like, what are we doing, lady? Like, I need out of this body. So so end of life can be a celebration. And animals want that. They don't, you know, it's okay to be sad, but it's such a joyful experience and you can make it joyful. And it was a lot of fun. Like Prim and I, we had a party. It was 24 hours where she was, I gave her butter. I was giving her whatever she wanted. And because I could hear her, she's like, all right, line it up, lady. Give me that other chute.
Oh, you know? My gosh.
But it becomes this joyful, wonderful experience. And it makes you realize, and you can do this for your living pets that aren't dying, you know, just giving them that extra treat. Like, I really feel like you cannot spoil an animal. So give them that extra dog cookie, unless they're overweight and your vet says so, right? I will never, ever say to do something that a vet says. But give them that extra cookie. You know, put that little Santa hat on the head, even though the dog says they hate it. You know, do that stuff. Dress them up. Like, take those photos. Like, there's so much joy in experiencing with an animal because they are just seeing it through your eyes.
Well, you know, Nancy, we love our animals so much. And a lot of, this is one of the ways I look at animal ownership. And I have dogs, and now I never intended to have cats. And all the cats I've acquired have been feral cats. And I look at it this way. I'm like, dogs are a lot like men. They're very simple. It's not hard to figure them out. It's easy to discern what they want, what they don't want. Cats, on the other hand, are so complex and so complicated that it really is, like in my instance, I have all these feral cats. They all have different personalities. And I often wonder, like, are they happy? Like, I'm keeping them alive and well fed and I play with them and I do all the things. And then I say to myself, are they happy? And then I'll say, well, you know, they were living in the dirt under my deck. They would have been eating, you know, mice and bats, and they must be happy. But is there a way to tell if you're doing right by your pets other than just your own gut?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe your gut is brilliant.
So the way I say it is, if you're asking that question, they're happy, right? Because someone that's pet isn't happy, they're not going to ask that. They're not going to be like, am I making my dog happy when I keep him in a kennel for 10 hours a day? They're not asking that question. So if you have that self-awareness to be like, am I making them happy? Then you already are. You know, feral animals are different. And I'll include feral because there are feral dogs, you know, as well. But feral cats are really interesting because they are led by instinct and they are, you know, very prey driven and very. And so it's interesting because when you try and help them, a lot of them are like, screw you. Right. Like, yeah. You know, like I'll never forget. Actually, I learned I just had this feeling when I was a little girl that cats were my favorite animal. I remember I went out and I just said, what is my favorite animal? And I heard it in my head, like a voice I'd never heard before that time. And cats, like, they absolutely choose you. Like, I was actually in TJ Maxx last week and I was like looking at pet stuff. And this woman looked at me and she was looking at a cat treat. And she said, I've never had a cat before. Is this something they'd like? And I said, if you're asking that question, it's probably no. It's like, cats are just like, what the hell? Like, they will have a problem with anything. You like, for instance, I was like celebrating with Prim. Here, get your paw print down. And she's like, lady, knock it off. Like, they could care less. And so what I tell people with cats, and this goes for ferals too, just sitting with cats is enough. and let them come to you. Because if you show interest in cats, they're like, what the hell are you doing? I don't want you. I don't need you in my face. But if you just sit there and ignore them, play on your phone, they're like, well what are you doing over there?
So you need to ignore Quinn, Jonna.
I think just sitting with them quietly, and maybe ignore is the wrong word, but just sitting with them and kind of respecting that space is the best thing you can do, especially if you have feral animals or even a cat that's just aloof. And I think, you know, are the feral cats happy? I think they are, because they have food and they have comfort. And so they don't have to hunt unless they want to, right? They don't have to be out in the elements unless they want to. So you are giving them that choice, whereas before they didn't have a choice in the matter. And how beautiful is that? To be able to give them the choice and what they want to do, give them autonomy, give them their autonomy back. They're not forced. And, you know, it's similar to, you know, people, right? Like, we're not forced to go harvest anymore. Like, we have the choice in our food. We have a choice. Same thing with cats. Like, you're giving them the choice. Do you want cat food or do you want to hunt a bat? You know, maybe sometimes they'll choose hunting that bat.
And, you know, Nancy, when you mentioned earlier about the end of life and having that little party for Prim and, you know, paint still on the nails for that paw print at the end. I had a cat named Shoes, and he was an indoor cat. But when I knew his time, he had cancer, I knew it was coming. One day I walked home and I got to the house and Shoes was at the bottom of the steps. And I said, you know what, Shoes, do you want to go for a walk? We did that for...
I remember this story. And he's gotten choked up because he loves him so much. I remember that story. And he did right?
For a month and a half. Every night.
And it's stuff like that. You know, we Prim was the first cat of mine that in a long time that we knew she was ready to pass. And so actually we had taken her out of the grass, but it was my 10-year-old son who, when we knew she had about 24 hours, my son said, let's go to the beach. And so we took her to the beach and we let her look at the seagulls, and she was absolutely miserable. But that's a different story. Prim is a tortie. If you've had a tortie, they are the feistiest, most opinionated cat you will ever have. But it's giving them, like you say, like letting him go for a walk, letting them feel the grass, letting them listen to the birds. It's stuff like that that it teaches us so much ourselves about being mindful. Little things make them so happy. And I'm positive, even without being intuitive, that made him happy.
And the best part was our walks involved walking around the apartment complex and walking around the driveways of the apartment complex. And he got a chance to meet people and other animals and kids who were walking their own pets and their dogs and that kind of thing. And he was in his glory. Being the mayor.
Mayor of that little complex.
Think about how many lives he touched. How many people were introduced to him? How many animals were introduced to him? So you allowed him to affect other people in a way that he wouldn't have been able to. And it's so beautiful. And I've learned this all too well. Just little moments, you know, little blips, like when I'm talking to past animals and they go, I had this white dog that was my friend. And the person will go, well, we don't have any white dogs, but there's this white dog behind the fence down the street. And they not only do they remember those animals, based off of smelling them, but those animals will greet them when they pass and vice versa. So think about that greeted these other animals. He will be able to greet them when they pass. So this beautiful love continues and those relationships continue. So you gave him a way of affecting so many others that you know, there's no possible understanding of how much he touched in that short amount of time just by listening to him and going, let's go for a walk. It's so amazing what little things can affect in such a huge way.
I have a question on that regard. I have a dog who is my heart walking on four legs outside of my body. Yeah. And she's 14 and I don't, like, I couldn't tell you in words, but wouldn't you say that people who are very close to their pets, such as we all are, that our intuitions are probably better than 90% on when we wonder what they want or need or enjoy? Like, we just know it because we know them so well.
And that's what I tell people, you don't have to go to an animal communicator, right? I mean, it's wonderful because I can verify that stuff, right? But I don't know how many times I talk to someone and they go, I knew that. So, right. You know, I'm great to verify that stuff, but I tell people, you'll know, and especially with pets passing, you'll know. Like, for instance, this wonderful soul that has her goat, she knew, but she's not ready, and that's okay. And that's, you know, again, it, you can come to someone like me, and we can help, you know, walk you through, okay, this is what they want, or this is what they need, and we can kind of help expand on that. But absolutely, you are intuitive about your own animals just the same way you are intuitive about your partner, about your kids. You will know. And I tell people, you will know when it's time. Again, you can come to me and that's great, but trust your own intuition. And I think the challenge that I find in my work is that a lot of people are used to second guessing it because it's just an animal, right? And it's this idea that animals aren't capable of thoughts and feelings and memories and emotion. And that's completely false. So, if you, and I say, if you hear something and it just feels off the wall or it feels something different than you would normally think, that's them. So for instance, I have a cat, Katniss. So I have Prim and then I have Katniss. If you're a Hunger Games fan, you get it.
Yeah.
And so Katniss likes to talk to me when I'm sleeping. Like, because I'm usually like when I'm not working, I'm not listening to my animals all the time or even, you know, sensing anything, I would be exhausted. So Katniss will come to me really when I'm kind of in that twilight. And I remember one time I woke up and I saw this image of like a flat of grass, like one of those flats you'll get at like Home Depot or Lowe's, and a bunch of grass. And I knew that she wanted this grass. Now, that's not me. I don't want a flat of grass, especially in my bedroom, but that's what she wanted. And so I, sure enough, I went to, you know, I went and I got her, and she was happy as a clam with that grass. So she'll send me like little things of like, this is what I want, you know? And it's, but again, the more off the wall it is, the more it usually is them. And sometimes I will say it's not going to be things you agree with. I want to be on top of the refrigerator. Well, I don't want you on there because you're knocking crap off. So then you can always say no to a request. And I say this all the time in sessions. Like, they are going to request everything from, I want my water at, you know, 72 degrees. I mean, they won't get 72 degrees, but I want it mild, or I want my food warm. You can say no, right? Just because they ask for something.
No, I can't. Oh, no, I can't.
You know, I don't need you after a call going to the nearest pet store. And believe me, that has happened. I've gotten messages like, okay, I have the striped blanket. I have the cross, you know, brown crunchy treats they want. I'm like, no. Like,
and there is always compromise, by the way.
100%.
Yes, you know, you look at them and say, listen, you can have the top of the fridge, just stop slapping me in the head.
Well, and that's what I do in sessions. I go, okay, this, and that's when I know they're really listening, when they bargain. I call that the bargaining. Like, because they'll be like, okay, you have to stop chasing the dog. And believe me, cats, like, they know what they're doing. And I'll be like, okay, stop chasing the dog and you'll be allowed on the bed again. But you can't have it both. And cats want it both ways. Whereas dogs are like, sure, what do you need me to do? I'll do it. What do you need? What do you need from me? I'll do it. And cats are like, screw that. You know?
Exactly.
You know, it's funny because I guess I'll admit this on the air. So in my house, actually in a room, I currently have 8 formerly feral cats. And 4 of them love me. They want to be petted by me. They come up to me. They're playful with me. And the other 4 either hate my guts or just wish I didn't exist, but won't actively try to bring about my demise. And if I can ask you, this is kind of specific, but not really specific. So of the 4 that hate me, what I do is I'll go in the room where they are regularly, and I'll sit and I'll drink my coffee and we play and I'll give toys and blah, blah, blah. But when I'm just sitting there quietly, the 4 that hate me, well, all of them, will surround me and just stare at me. And they'll lounge and they'll scratch and they'll just stare. And I can't decide whether they're staring at me because they're wishing I would die, or whether they're staring at me because they're like, you know, you're okay. Because here's why. When I get up to approach the ones that don't like me, even though they're staring at me and they're very comfortable, they bolt and they don't want to be near me. Is that normal, or what is that?
So I'll first say that I have not yet chatted with a pet that wanted their person to die, so that should come. I never say never and always, though, so there's always a first time. Maybe I will come across a cat, and of course it would be a cat that would want their person gone. So I think it just depends on the individual cat. However, I think they're just observing you, they're taking you in, they're smelling you, they're watching you, if anything they're memorizing your pattern, and in that sense they're finding you a sense sense of safety, a sense of security. So when you're sitting there, it's more like, okay, I know everything is okay because she is doing something that is common that I've seen before. So it's almost like watching a rerun of Friends that you've watched 50 times and you enjoy it, you know, because you really like the breakup scene between Rachel and Ross. That's essentially what the cats are doing, but with you, they're watching you going, okay, this is all normal behavior. So it would be interesting, and I'm hearing a lot of this now with the holidays, is plans are changing, you know, we're home, we're not home, things are moving around, and all the animals are annoyed. So it'll be interesting as the holidays progress, if you maybe you miss a morning, if they do get more annoyed at you, because again, they want that rerun of Friends. They want to watch you, because you watching them is that security. And that's why I'm a big fan of routines. I think, you know, routine is my biggest piece of advice for pet owners, because animals, and this, you know, I don't care if you have a rabbit, a rat, a ferret, a goat, they rely on those routines. So just the fact that you're going in there and sitting with them is perfect. I don't feel intuitively like any of them want to kill you. So if you ever have a question on that, feel free to DM me. You know, there may be something in there that I'm not picking up on. I don't feel like any of them want to cause you harm now. However, I think that if you move, you know, change their food, we may have a different story on our hands.
Now, Nancy, just keep in mind that Jonna occasionally can get melodramatic. You know, so just, you know, keep that in mind.
You don't say. I had no idea. I did not pick that up intuitively at all. That she
did. I know we're running out of time, but I did have a couple more quick questions. And you just raised one. What is, just because this is part of your bio, what is an evidential medium? Is that just a fancy way of saying me? But what is that exactly?
So it means everything I say can be proven. I like to say I'm not woo-woo, right? I'm not talking to you about auras or, you know, I'm not talking to you about spells. I always joke that if I could do spells, I would have a house cleaning spell first and foremost. I would have a my husband not snoring spell. That would be freaking awesome. So I'm not woo-woo. I joke that usually, like, people get nervous, you know, when they're speaking to me. And I'm like, I was just telling my kids to quiet down. I was just shoving a sandwich in my mouth. Like, I'm not woo-woo. So evidential is everything I say can be proven. Now, not everything is going to make sense at the moment. And then if I'm writing it down for you, I put a little box on it and I say, hold on to that. Actually, the record for something not making sense and then making sense is actually 2 years. I have a client that I spoke to many times, and there was one thing the first time I spoke to her about something her past dog had said. And she, I remember the first time she emailed me, she's like, everything makes sense except for that one, but she held on to it. And then almost 2 years to the day, she messaged me and was like, I got it. This is what he was talking about. It finally occurred to me. So yeah, not everything's going to make sense. And also, you know, especially when you're speaking about multiple pets, I always joke that unlike if I was talking to your great aunts or uncles who have different syntaxes, different ways of speaking, animals sound all the same in my head. So maybe I think I'm talking to Max the cat, but it's actually Bear the dog that's butting in. And so I always say, if it doesn't make sense with one, think about the other animals, or think about, you know, maybe an animal even that's passed, that's butting their way into the conversation. Because when I'm talking, it's almost like a party line. If you're old enough to remember that in the 70s, when everyone just starts saying hi, that's how it is in my head. It's like a party in my head, but I don't hear them. I'm not that kind of, I don't hear anything. It's through a stream of consciousness. It's just not mine. So evidential, I prove it. That's me. I don't BS. I'm all about, and I'm very straightforward. I'm very to the point. Very much how can I help you? I'm not going to be like, so you were a princess in your past life and your dog now was a horse that used to gallop next to you. I don't speak like that. That's not me.
That takes me to my second question. And again, I know because we have to wrap up here soon, but so you do readings for people. So maybe before we go, who should contact you? What kind of readings do you do? What if somebody's saying, well, do I need to contact Nancy or do I not? Who would benefit from a reading with you?
Honestly, anyone. It's totally up to, you know, so I speak with people that are past. I actually work with real estate. I love talking to people about their homes. I love talking to people people about their jobs, whatever you want, as long as you're comfortable with me, right? And I always joke that, you know, I don't advertise. Like, if you feel like booking a session with me, book a session. And if you don't, that's okay too. Like, if you feel, I just say, trust your instincts. If you think that I'm the right one, do it. If not, no, you know, it's okay, right? It's just like there are different kinds of doctors out there. There's different kinds of therapists. It's just, I'm just Nancy. I encourage people to follow me on social media. I'm Nancy Mello Official on Instagram. I'm Nancy.Mello, and Mello is M-E-L-L-O, not M-E-L-L-O-W. I get that one a lot. It's M-E-L-L-O on TikTok. And feel free to follow me. Feel free to check out my videos. And if you enjoy how I speak, and, you know, because some people want a little bit more of a woo-woo approach, for a better word. Some people want to talk about the essential oils, and that's great too. You know, but just check me out, and if you feel drawn to it, great. But I love working with everyone. I mean, I just spoke to someone in Jerusalem. I speak to people all over the world. I spoke to someone in Poland this past week. So I work with people all over the world from all different kinds of backgrounds. And I love it, because it's people I wouldn't ordinarily chat with. So if you're open to it, I am. And if you wonder if I can do something, just ask. You know, I had a client last week, actually, that messaged me, and there was a man that had stuck with her that she had been in contact with many years ago, but she didn't know his name. She had an approximate date of when it happened, but other than that, she had no information. And she said, can you help me? I felt this connection. And I said, sure, why not? Because if I can't do it, I can't do it. And it worked out beautifully. So again, if you have a question about what I can do, just ask.
And also, what you didn't mention is you've got this fantastic podcast called the Creature Preacher Podcast, where people actually have contacted you with specific issues.
100%.
And solve, which is a great approach. It's really fun. And I encourage people to find that as well. I had it on the Apple Creature Preacher Podcast. We have been speaking with Nancy Mello, who is an animal communicator and an evidential medium, and an all around, just, you're fun, Nancy. You're fun and unique. So I encourage everybody to follow her on social media. Nancy, we really appreciate you joining
us. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us there, Nancy. Sorry, John, I didn't mean to step on you there. You okay?
Well, this is just a tip of the iceberg. I can sit here and talk for another 3 hours.
Okay, yeah.
I'm ready. You guys want to talk about anything? I'm down. Let's get into it.
Okay. We'll get you back in the new year.
Yes, indeed. And I'll stop stepping on Jonna's tail. But anyway, thank you very, very much, Nancy Mello, for joining us. It was wonderful, and we'll be back. We've still got more with Happy Hour here, and Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci and this dude. So please stick around. Segment 3 is on the way.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spillmore. It is Carol Pesci. And wow, it was nice to have an animal communicator on for the first time, wasn't it? That was a fantastic segment.
It was, but you're missing a beat here, Frankenberry.
Yeah, you're missing some Frankenberry.
Well, you know what? I'm all stuck in Catland right now with memories and stuff, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
Sorry about that. But anyway, yes, Nancy Mello was fantastic.
Well, it's nice validation that, you know, that we can understand our pets and that they are trying to communicate with us.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I speak for my dog all the time. Like, I just know. I know what she wants. I know what she's trying to tell me.
Yeah, well, that's because your dog is attached to your hip as often as she possibly can be. So, you know, you don't have to communicate with words. You'd be like, oh, Gingy, you want to go left? Okay, let's go left. You want to go right?
Well, that was fascinating talking with her.
Yeah.
It was.
So much more. Like, you guys got to tune into the podcast, because it's like she has people call up with issues. Like, even, like, here's a crazy one. Like, one person had a cat who would get mad when that person was getting romantic with somebody. And he needed advice as to how to fix that. And she explained why the cat was mad. Like, so, you know, and what I didn't get to ask her is, does she ever get feedback from the people that she gives this advice to validate that the advice actually worked? There was another couple that was asking her a question, and she was describing one of their animals and how they behave without having any prior knowledge. And they were blown away. Like, that's exactly what he does. So she's tuned in. Yeah, she's definitely tuned in. And that podcast, again, is called The Creature Preacher with Nancy Mello, Mello, no W. Anywho, I think we're going to get bumped off the air if we don't wrap this show. So it's all you, Frankenberg.
It's all you. I give up at this point, Frankenberry. You can take the heat for whatever happens in the next 45 seconds. Anyway, thank you very much to Nancy Mello for joining us today, and for Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. I am that Frankenfella, and we will be back again next week right here. So please join us again then for another edition of Happy Hour.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.